Last week, go ahead, Wes. Last week, and I'll have to apologize in advance for having to turn my head because the glare on that side is really bad. Maybe we can even, no, we won't even print those out. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Last week, we shared the both the power and the efficacy of the gospel. Can you give me a second here as I'm going to pull it up. If anybody has a hard copy of the Bible, I'll take it right now. Yeah, thank you. I got Reverend Stephanie's hard copy. See, we have to go old school here. So that means I get all of her notes. So for dinner, bring See, this is obviously a total random thought. It's like to see a Bible that is very well worn and marked up. It's not a this is not something that rests on a shelf. This is something that is used in a robust way. Again, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I shared before, I share now, last week, that many theologians believe that these two verses not only frame and support the entirety of the letter to the Romans, but support, this is the true essence of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Again, the just will live according to the faith that has been founded, that is rooted, that is based in the relationship with God. Why are you repeating this? We dealt with this last week. This is the connected tissue for what we'll unpack now going forward in the 18th to 20th, just three verses today, so we won't be before you long. And let me just get right into it. The 18th verse, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The NIV is deficient in that it doesn't include that connector for. Okay, so it's important that you see the for that connects you back to 16 and 17. What I said was 16 and 17, it's the most important. It's probably the linchpin, let me call it that. It's the linchpin of the whole letter to the Romans and possibly the whole linchpin to the gospel itself. It is the power of God that allows us to do the things we do, not the least of which. The most important thing is to enter into that realm of salvation. But why then we pivot here? For the wrath of God, it's because the importance, the significance of salvation, the importance, it goes to the very root, the very essence of who God is. As the prayer went up, I so love this world that I gave my son. And you are important. You are my creation. You are important to me. You're so important that the wrath of God is revealed against heaven for everybody and everything that's antithetical to what I'm trying to accomplish. I shared before, I share now. What was that, grand number five? I think it's grand number five. Had risen up against Grandma Ema. And Grandma had to tamper down not physically, but might as well have been, when she just said, you don't know who you're messing with. You have no clue who you're messing with. You're trying to rise up against me. You're going to experience the wrath of Grandma. Just keep it up. Well, I thought God is love, and God is, you know, we create in our own mind, we create a caricature. I know our very own Reverend West, Pastor West, he had I remember in seminary, it was a bobblehead. He showed me a bobblehead doll of, I think it was a picture. I don't think he actually brought it in, of the cool Jesus. You know, it was an image of someone's thinking of who Jesus is with sunglasses and a thumbs up, and it's like, that's the cool Jesus. And so if we're not careful, we can create in our own mind an image that is totally off base to what Scripture says. Oh, that's why, I mean, honestly, those that are marginally Christian or nominally Christian, it resonates. You know, Christmas kind of resonates because that's just a coochie coochie coo little baby in a clean manger. It's like with clean fresh straw and all. Isn't that beautiful? It's like you have no idea. You have no idea. That's God laying in a filthy animal trough. That's what you have. But we create. God would never. God's for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness. All. Implied, God is not passively, well, you know, I see some nefarious things going on, but you know what? I'm gonna kick back and wait. I don't have the exact etymology, and it's in my notes. Should have committed to memory. Don't have it. But the exact etymology, it's the verb that's being used. It's in the indicative. It's a present tense, and it's in the indicative, and which means it's like, no, this is really happening. This is like the real deal. This is not like, well, it might happen one day, or you know, there's a chance of it happening. It's like, no, God is actively working against all that is evil. And just because we don't see it lived out or worked out in our time frame or even in our lifetime doesn't mean God isn't working it out. It's just like, well, God, how long? I know it's unsatisfactory. It doesn't feel good. It's a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Your time structure is not my time structure. Well, I'm stuck in a relationship, and it's just you know what? It just seems like 1,000 years for sure. You know, I'm there. How long? God is working actively against all unrighteousness. He's working actively against all evil. Well, what is this? Is this like a nip and tuck, a back and forth? Is God, oh, God's up, oh, God's down? It's like, no, look, God has won, he is winning, and he will win. It's already, as the song goes, don't wait till the battle is over, just go ahead and shout now. Because in our mind, the battle is still raging, and God's like, look, I exist outside of space and time. I don't have this challenge. See, I already see the panorama of time. The panorama of time is already laid out. The what we call the future is already, it's just as equal as the past or present to God. It's just like, and I know it's impossible for us to wrap our minds around, but that's why God is who God is. And he's working against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold truth and unrighteousness. Because that which may, verse 19, that which may be known of God is manifest them, for God hath showed it unto them. This must be the King James. Yeah, I'm looking at here, showed. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. And I thank God for the opportunity to really be extemporaneous as opposed to more slave to my notes. We don't know all the things that are going on. We have no idea of all the things that are going on. The 19th and the 20th verse, people that are a lot wiser, older, more knowledgeable than I am, have wrestled with this text in a way that, wait a minute, what about those that have never heard the gospel? How will they be judged? How will someone who lives in a deserted island, you know, part of me is always thinking, it's like, why is that an issue to you? What's that got to do with you? Grew up on 11 acres in Alberta. Had a neighbor, contemporary, same grade, same age. And my father hired this young man to do chores around our my father's property where he extended the privilege for me to live on. I didn't pay rent. I lived there. He extended the opportunity for this person to work and to get paid, to receive a benefit, to be blessed by my father. And I took issue with that. That's kind of what 10th graders do. They look at situations and they say, well, that's not fair. Gary is getting the benefit I should be getting, and he's not, I don't perceive him either relationally or physically in the same realm as me. I don't get this. How can Daddy bless him in this way? That's what a sinful 63-year-old would say too. I was like hugely. I just shared with Cliff this morning. I was hugely convicted. Pastor Meats is a woeful sinner. Don't look at me strange, so are you. Don't, it's like, what did he do? Less than you did. So we won't even go there. But it's not important what I did, because I can justify in my mind that it was right, but it was so wrong. Because I in that situation, sanctification has kicked in. Trust me, I'm better than I was yesterday, but definitely not as good as I'm going to be tomorrow, Paul. God spare me, I'll be better tomorrow. But what I looked at is I was looking at the righteousness of Mark extended through God. I was attempting to frame what is just and right and give that to God and say, this is what you ought to do. This is how you should see it. Why are you laboring so much on this? Because if we're not careful, we'll get caught up spinning our wheels, trying to focus on things that we are infinitely incapable of resolving in our own mind. And what we need to do is rest in the completeness, altogether sufficiency of God, that as the song goes, it's both right and it's good. How will the judgment be extended to those that, there are many people that did not get the benefit of the four spiritual laws. They didn't get to read the Romans roadmap. we can be so, oh, Pastor, are you so ecumenical now that anybody goes, did I say that? Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying is that the things that are beyond us, beyond our understanding, the scripture says they are without excuse. And that extends to everybody. Everybody that's ever been, that ever will be, is without excuse to come to at least a fundamental understanding. There's got to be a God. There's got to be something more than what I'm seeing around here. There absolutely has to be more than just me. I am not just a random collection of molecules that just happen together. See, because if we fall into that evil trap, then not only could hedonism kick in, but when we fall into that trap of, well, anything goes, and, well, why even try? Why even attempt to extend the gospel to those that need to hear it? Because it's just beyond me. We need to understand the connected tissue from the 16th to the 20th verse, that the righteousness and the power of God that is at the very foundation, that is of the love of God, and the love, as I shared before, I share now, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. And if I love you, then there has to be an accounting. There has to be a reconciling. I cannot just sit idly by and allow folks I love to be afflicted or to have the gospel message to be suppressed in some way or some form. I'm done. See, but Diane, if I had my, here's my iPad. I'd close it right about now. The invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen. I'll say this, and I am done. The implication in the text and with others is it's like it's both a, you know, you can see the stars and you can say, why that's that, you know, folks say it's really I've never been to the Grand Canyon. I've been to a lot of places. I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but I hear that, you know, if you go to the Grand Canyon, it's just like you just sit there slack-jawed and just like, wow. Just wow. I'll say this, and I promise I'm done. There's a Grand Canyon that lives in my court, at my house, and when I look in the mirror, I go, wow. That God would have the, he would bother to care. And save me? Who am I? Really? Who am I? I'm nobody. But I'm everything in his eyes. We don't know who we're messing with. God, I'm telling you, Kevin, God loves you so much, boy. He loves you. He's not taking a cooler. He's not taking a time out watching us just kind of limp through life. He's actively working against all unrighteousness and evil in the world and in me. And I so thank God. Let's pray. Our Father, our God, oh, we so love you and we thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the sweet communion of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the opportunity to just be transparent and to share how the Holy Spirit works in each and every one of us. If, as my professor always said, if we just gave him a half a chance, just allow the Holy Spirit to do the things he desires to do in each and every one of our lives, we'd be so much better. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus Christ. We love you. It's in his name we pray. Amen.